Father, again, we want to just stand before you and just marvel at asking today, reveal yourself to us. You're outside our human definitions. You define everything. And so we thank you by your Holy Spirit that you love to make yourself known to us in a way that is beyond our human definitions of who you are. And so we thank you. We want to thank you today as you share with us things on your heart that's going to free us, that's going to liberate us, that's going to bring us into the reality of truth that truly sets free. And where your Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. So we want to thank you as you continually lead us on this incredible journey of freedom that's found in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you. So today, teach us, reveal to us, Father, your good news to mankind. Share with us our true identity in your Son, what it is to really be your child, what it is to really be your son, your daughter, what it is, what it really means to be a new creation. And what does it mean to be free of condemnation? And so we ask today, Father, that in your goodness, you just reach out and meet us where we are, take us deeper, lift us higher into your truth, that we can just really, just behold you and just worship, and just words cannot describe just who you really are, God. And we want to thank you for a relationship with you, the Creator, the God Almighty, that we can have a relationship with you, you with us. And it is such a relationship that is through your Son Jesus that just changes our lives totally. I'm asking today that this relationship will be so established, this relationship that we have, Father, you with us and us with you, will be so rooted in us. We'll be so grounded in the security and in the just in the reality of this relationship that we have through your Son Jesus. So thank you as you do this. We ask not only for ourselves, but Father, for our nation of South Africa. We are asking that there will be such an incredible anointing going out as your good news is preached, the power of your power that is released and revealed through your Son's death and resurrection, which is the answer to this nation. So we ask God Almighty that there will be an awakening of the evangelists, the teachers, the body of Christ, and all the gifting will be so alive, so awakened to operate in the fullness of what it is to live as your child, Lord God, and free from the body of sin, free from the original sin, living in the truth of the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit that gives life. And so we thank you as you do this in our nation, because you love the people of our nation so much. And so we just say amen to that through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Oh. I want to start off with a portion of scripture in Romans chapter 8, because this is what at this time our Father wants us to know, to live in. And you'll understand why I'm bringing this, because in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and maybe also verse 2 and 3 and 4, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, by that body of sin, God did by sending his own Son. Because remember, he is sinless. There was no sin operating in his body. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully, fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this portion of scripture, it is so rich. It is so, there's just so much in it. And I want to bring it in the context of South Africa. Because when we're speaking about condemnation, we're dealing with legal terms over here. And when we're speaking about the law, we're speaking legal terms. And so when we're speaking about justification, etc., it's all in a legal language. And so we've got to understand the role of the law and what is the law. And so before we can get to living in the truth more and more of this Romans 8, because that's what our Father wants to do. We have an understanding and we're living in some degree of truth in the scripture. But he's moving us deeper because the Spirit guides us into all truth. And we know that his truth sets us free. And so when we're dealing with no condemnation, there's a truth that is necessary for us to live in so that we can be free from living in our own understanding and our own experience of feeling condemned. And so that is why we need to spend a bit of time just like continuing where we left off last Sunday, laying the foundation. And then we're going to get to Romans chapter 7, because Romans chapter 7, which will start next Sunday, Romans chapter 7, really, that's where Paul starts to put it all together. He starts to bring all the arguments, all the teaching that he's been sharing, starts to put it all together in Romans chapter 7, and then brings it through into the application, into the experience in Romans chapter 8, and the reality of being in Christ Jesus, and the freedom that comes, and particularly from the freedom of condemnation. Now, in our South African context, one of the main things that the believers as Christians share is that although they are Christians, still a deep sense of condemnation that they are living. And so there's something that needs to be released in our nation so that first of all, that the body of Christ can experience there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What does it look like? How do we live in that truth? How do we grow in that truth? Okay. And that's what our Heavenly Father is helping us over here. And how do you know you're feeling condemned? Well, it's simple things. You don't read your Bible in the morning, you know, for one day. Oh God, are you going to zap me? Is today going to be a bad day? You see, that's evidence of a mindset living in the reality of condemnation. Because now God, I'm not good enough. God's going to do something. When it comes reading the scripture is necessary, but it depends on the starting point. It's the same with prayer. I didn't pray today. I forgot to pray and that kind of stuff. And, is God going to zap me? Is God going to accept me because of I've forgotten to pray? That's the consequences of living in the condemnation because of a law that has been established in all of humanity. And so we need to understand in the context of South Africa, when the settlers came, the Ten Commandments was very much part of the establishment of the South Africa that started to exist from the time the settlers came in. Because you had the missionaries, you had the reformers, you had the Puritans and all that, they're coming and involved in establishing South Africa. So you have, the whole NGO church, et cetera, et cetera. And so for South African citizens, the Ten Commandments plays a big role. And everybody is very conscious of the Ten Commandments, or most people are very conscious of the written Ten Commandments. And so that plays a big role in the truth of condemnation, in the truth of the requirements of the law, and if we don't fulfill the requirements of the law. So it's a very much part. And so that's why many believers that living as children of God, there's still a deep sense of condemnation because of not understanding what it means to have died to the law. And so that's what we've got to deal with. So some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at, for instance, is in Romans chapter 7. And I'm not going to teach on that today, but I'm just sharing some of the scriptures that we need to answer. What does it mean when Paul writes in Romans 7 in verse 4, "So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." Okay, and so what does it mean to have died to the law? We need to get an answer. We need to understand that truth to be able to live in the reality of not living in that condemnation that so many of us as believers live. So we need to ask that. Also, another question we need to ask it there in verse 6 of Romans 7, verse 6. "But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." So what is this law? What is this new way? And that what does it mean that we've died to that which once bound us? Okay. We've been looking at the power of sin. We've been looking at the humanity that was in Adam. And as we go through Romans 7, all that, as I said, it'll start coming together. What is Paul meaning here? What is the truth for you and I that's a Gentile and not a Jew? How does this apply to everybody who's not a Jew? What is this law? We need to get an answer so that we can live in that freedom that comes with the truth of God. Another particular scripture that we need to get an understanding on is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. "For," listen to this, "for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God." What does that mean? What does it mean that through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God? "For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." What does that mean? See, that's such an important truth for us to comprehend so that we can move into the freedom of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Okay? Because of these truths that's in the Bible. And these are the scriptures that we read, but we don't understand. They remain sort of, okay, there we read it over there, we agree with that, but we lack the understanding. And this is the time our Father wants to give revelation to all of us so that we have the revelation of his righteousness, a revelation of what justification is, and what no condemnation is all about. Another scripture that we need to get an understanding from is again in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir." Very, very important truth to get the revelation on this so that we can live in the reality of a true son and a true daughter in that freedom of being free from condemnation. Another scripture that we need to look at as well is that it's also back into Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. These are scriptures. We've died to the law, etc. We belong to another one. And yet, in Romans chapter 3, verse 31, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. See, and so there's suddenly, whoa, okay. Here's an incredible truth that we need to understand. How does this work? How do we uphold the law when we've died to the law? And so all of this, if we don't understand, it brings confusion and there's a conflict. There's a truth, but in our minds, we haven't yet been able to receive it by faith and to live in the truth of this. And so we're always battling in living in the freedom of what it is to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are the things that our Father wants to share with us. The Spirit of God wants to lead us into this truth so that we can experience more and more freedom as we receive and get this truth established in us. And so I think this morning, because of the load shedding coming at 10 o'clock, I'm going to just start off by, again, giving an introduction to what is the law, helping us to understand a little bit of the law. And then as we go through Romans chapter 7, and then you'll see then Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 4, Galatians 5. Galatians is a brilliant book in understanding the reality of the law and walking in the Spirit. And so you'll begin to really grasp this truth that we've been looking at last Sunday of there's the body of sin, there's the original sin, and how to live in this incredible truth that we've died to the law through the body of Christ Jesus. So that will help us to understand the body of sin that's been put to death and learn how to live in that truth as well. So all of this is going to be coming. So please be patient. There's so much that God is busy revealing. And so we're just going to take little bits at a time. Okay. First of all, when we start in the area of the righteousness of God, and because we're dealing about the gift of righteousness. Remember in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, this gospel of God, this good news of God to mankind, God's good news to mankind. It's his power for salvation, and salvation is the deliverance for us as humans from the consequences of the fall and also of sin, and delivering us from all of that. And that is found in the reality of being in Christ Jesus. And then he carries on and he says that in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And so there's this revelation of God's righteousness. And why I'm stressing the revelation of God's righteousness is because we try and define God by our human definition of what righteousness is. That falls short of God defines righteousness. We don't define God by our human definition of righteousness. It's the same with holiness. God defines holiness. We don't define God with our definition of holiness. God defines love. We don't define God by our definition of love. God defines goodness. We don't define God by our definition of goodness. It's the wrong starting point. And that's why the revelation, God reveals himself to mankind. And I can only ask that you go and you say, Father, reveal to me what your righteousness is. And I'm serious. Because as God reveals to you and I his righteousness, you will so value the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will so, the glory of the death and resurrection of Jesus will explode within you, because you will just see the love of God in all of us. So we're starting off with the nature of God. God is righteous. In other words, everything, it's not that, it's the, everything about God works together. So who God is righteous. It's not he will become righteous, he is. So everything about God, from the inside of God, from his very being, everything that he does is right. It's perfect. Everything that he does. And all his interactions with humanity will be perfectly right in his sight. It's who he is. He cannot change. So in his dealings with mankind, it'll always be perfectly right. Because coming from God's very nature, who he is. But he doesn't separate that which is right. And he says, okay, now let me switch that off. And now let me do that which is mercy. Let me do that which is good. Let me do that which is loving. Let me do that which is gracious. No, everything works together. God is not schizophrenic. He's a holy. And all his attributes, every character of God is operating in its perfect fulfillment, in its fullness all the time, in all his dealings with mankind. Crucial in understanding the cross and the death of Jesus Christ. Because in all of that, we see the revelation of the perfect justness of God, the righteousness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the sovereignty of God, the omnipresence of God. You see the omnipotence of God. Everything about God is being manifested, because in the gospel, a righteousness of God is being revealed, is revealed. It's not just the fact that Jesus died. It's the full reality of the full righteousness of who God is being revealed in his death and resurrection. So as we get the revelation of the death and resurrection of Jesus, you start to really see so much more than just the Son of God taking our punishment, taking our place to receive the punishment of God because of God's righteousness, because of his justice. It's far more than that. You've got to see the fullness of that. And only the Holy Spirit can take us into more and more of the revelation of the character, of the nature of God. And so you will do well in asking the Holy Spirit to guide you into the truth of the character and the nature of God. It's life changing. And, you won't see the cross, like you have been seeing. it's very deep. It's very real. It's life changing. And so do that, please. And so we're starting off over there. So when God created creation, the world, as we see in Genesis chapter 1, remember, after he had created mankind, what did God say? God said, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. It was very good. So everything that God created was very good. So creation is living in the full expression and the full reality of the perfection of God, in the absoluteness of God. Mankind, Adam and Eve, all they know is the reality of that which is right from God's heart. They're living in the rightness of God. They're living in the absolute holiness, the absolute goodness, the absolute righteousness, the absolute justice of God in all his fullness. That's what they know. That's what they're living. They are made in the image of God. That's what they know. Okay? Then we see the fall coming, and in God's incredible full expression of who he is, he puts there the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And his goodness. And that's why we have to see everything that God has done. It's coming from his total completeness of who he is. It's not just wants to trick mankind or whatever the case may be. It's coming with everything that he does is right. It's flowing from the perfection of God, from the pure purity of God, from the holiness of God. There's no darkness, there's no sin, there's no ulterior motive, there's nothing. It's totally pure. So those two trees is totally from a pure motive from God, totally out of love, of righteousness, of justice, of holiness, of goodness, etc. From God, everything. And then we see the reality that God speaks to Adam and Eve, or he speaks to Adam, sorry, first of all, and he says to Adam, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he then creates Eve, and we see there that they're living. So all that Adam and Eve knew was the goodness of God. They lived in the total full revelation of righteousness. Totally. It was no, they were doing exactly that which was right in the eyes of God. Totally. They weren't deviating from that. They knew nothing else. Creation was operating totally in that incredible righteousness of God, that which is right. The laws of nature, the laws of creation, everything was operating totally that which was right in the eyes of God. Everything was correct. Then we see the temptation coming. And for the temptation, let me just quickly go to help you to understand this first. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going back to Genesis now, in Ephesians chapter 4, and we read over there in verse 23 and 24. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is Adam and Eve's reality before the fall. Made in his image, so within them, like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? Important, because to understand the imputation of Adam's sin now, this is why this is so crucial. So that's the experience. That's what they know. Satan tempts them, and as we see there, when Satan tempts them, they then yield to their temptation. They violate, they break, they disobey a law. They disobey the perfect requirement of God. When God said, you can work the garden, you must multiply, you can eat from that tree and not from that tree. And so therefore, the first time, they broke a law. They broke a law that God had given to them. They broke a command. And for the first time, what took place when they ate from that tree, from the knowledge of good and evil, for the first time, they now understood the difference. Now they understood the righteousness of God and their unrighteousness, because now they understood they were no longer living in that full reality of like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now sin had entered, and now for the first time, they had that revelation, wow, God, we've fallen short of your glory. We've fallen short of your righteous standard. And now they had that understanding. Now their conscience played a role. And their conscience now made them so aware that they had fallen short of the glory of God. And so what did they do? They went and hid, because now there was the guilt, there was the experience of condemnation, there was that guilt hanging over them, over there. So the guilt to go and hide. Okay. And so now that took place. And now we saw there, as we've been looking there in Romans chapter 5, and we were looking over there on how the sin of Adam was imputed to mankind. So now, just as in Adam, that reality of knowing what is good and evil, that reality of knowing now God's righteous standard and what took place in falling short of that righteous standard, they were now aware. And now that reality, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and this way death came to all people because all sin, so that reality was now imputed to all of mankind. So that's why all of humanity now is born with that sin conscience. All of humanity is born with that reality of knowing in their hearts, in their very nature, that there's a righteous standard of God, and there's what's happened to mankind, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. And so that is what Paul is busy bringing in his argument, in his teaching of this whole reality of the righteousness of God that is being made known in this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking about there. So now, because of this truth of all have sinned and fall short of the glory, because of that truth of Adam's sin being imputed to us, now we go there and let's have a look there in Romans chapter 2. And we see over there when he speaks about the Jew and the Gentile, because that will be the argument that people will bring, and Paul is addressing this argument, because we're dealing now with the sin that's been imputed from Adam to you and I. So that sin and the consequences of that sin belongs to all of humanity. The good news is that God, through his son Jesus, has delivered us from the fall. He's delivered us from the consequences of the sin of Adam. Okay? So that's why in Christ is this new nature, and that's why we'll understand what it is to have all the law later on as we move on. So in verse 12, in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, all who sin apart from the law will also perish from the law. Now, Paul is referring to most of the time in Romans, not all the time, but the majority of the time when Paul is speaking about the law, he's speaking about the Ten Commandments. Okay, because the Ten Commandments is a revelation of the righteous standing of God. It's a standard of God. And so God's righteousness, is manifested in his laws. And so Paul is mainly addressing the body of Christ over here in Romans concerning the Ten Commandments. Now, that's not all the time. And so when we speak about the law of God, we'll see over there that in the Ten Commandments, there's the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. And out of that, there is the social law and there is the ceremonial law. So the social law, that's how God says to the Israelites, this is how you to live. This is how you're going to conduct your life. This is how you relate with one another in family, in business, in politics, in every area of your life. This is the way over there. The Ten Commandments is the foundation in which you are going to live your life. And here's the law on how you're going to conduct your life. He then gives them the ceremonial law, rooted in the Ten Commandments. He then says, okay, this is how you're going to worship. These are the sacrifices. This is how you're going to relate with me, because you're not going to keep that law. And so I'm giving you the sacrificial reality, and all that then, how you're going to worship. And so all of that is rooted and established on the Ten Commandments. Okay. And so in South Africa, it's the same, because you and I, as we see here now in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. So you can see how God deals with this outside of Christ Jesus. This is how he deals with it. Okay, we're not yet in Christ Jesus. He's telling us how he operates before the revelation of righteousness came through his son Jesus. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Okay, so here we see the obedience to the law will be declared righteous. Okay, indeed, verse 14, when the Gentiles, that's everyone that's not a Jew, who do not have the law, do by nature. Notice the word nature. Do by nature things required by the law. They are law for themselves, even though they did not have the law, did not have the written law like the Jews did. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witnesses, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. So here we see this incredible truth of every single person, whether Jew or Gentile, has received that imputation from Adam. So Adam's disobedience, Adam's understanding that he's fallen short of that righteousness that he knew, that living in that goodness, living in the perfect, what is right in the eyes, in the heart, in the mind of God, living in that reality, disobeying God, being removed from that reality, living now in the reality of knowing what he had and knowing what he now has because there's been that separation, there's been that sin that's come into the picture there. And so he's fallen short. That is all in the human nature. And that's why it's so important who do by nature things required by the law. So in the very nature of all humanity, there is that which the law produces. That's that word requirements, the requirements of the law. It's the purpose of the law. So in the nature of mankind, the purpose of God's righteous standard is working in all of humanity. And that's why all humanity, there's an understanding, even though it's now fallen, even though it's now contaminated with the sin nature, etc., there is in the human person, in humanity, that consciousness, that reality of the righteous standard of God, because we're made in his image. And even though we've fallen, that image is still in its fallen state operating within mankind before we are born again. So that is still operating in man. The righteousness and the holiness is still there. It's a witness in all of humanity. That's why all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one who is righteous. There's no one who has got an excuse. No human being. So that's in all of us. And here we have the reality within the Jews. Now it's written. And if you go through the scriptures in the Old Testament, God gave it to the Jews. So now all nations, because they're going to be a priesthood, they're going to be a testimony to all nations. So all nations could now have a written testimony as they listened and as they watched and they saw God's interaction with the Jews. They had no excuse because they could see, they could hear, and it was written. And that was the purpose of Israel and likewise with the body of Christ, but with the law of the spirit of life and not with the law of the spirit of death. And so this is what's taking place over there. And so they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness and their thoughts sometimes accusing them. Adam did not yet have the Ten Commandments. Adam is now living in this reality that every human being lives today, what Paul is describing here in Romans chapter 2, 14 and 15. Okay. So that is what's taking place in all of us. And then we get to here we were still busy here in Romans chapter 2. And then we move to Romans chapter 3. And that's when we see that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's very interesting in Romans chapter 3, where Paul writes about this whole reality, and he says over there in verse 19 and 20, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. That's why it's so important for us to understand how this law works. You've got that written law, but in the hearts of humanity, the law's operating there. That's why all humanity stands condemned. All humanity has fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Paul writes, now we know that whatever the law says, it is those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable God, not just the Jews, the whole world held accountable God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. And that we will look at when we look at the purpose of the law and what it does and what it is to be free. And as I said, that's why it's so important to understand that Galatians 4:4, that Christ, when he came, he was born under the law to set us free from being under the law. And that's why that in Romans 3 verse 19, it says to those who are under the law. And that's why you've got to understand this part here to understand Galatians 4:4. But we'll get there. Don't worry. Okay. I'm just before that can be in your mind for the next time. And that, so this is where we are now. Now, just to conclude quickly, because in the gospel, in this good news of God, a righteousness, God's righteousness is revealed. So in John chapter 1, and we see there in verse 16 and 17, for out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of every grace already given. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. So now we see there that this Ten Commandments was given through Moses. This is now the written law. And we know that for all humanity, it was now established in our heart, in the very nature of mankind. Now, in South Africa, most of South Africans, they're very conscious of the Ten Commandments. So this is very relevant in the way we witness and the way we minister to South Africans. Okay. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. With the law being given through Moses, that then required the obedience to that law. That law, that Ten Commandments. Now in Christ Jesus, a revelation of God's righteousness is being made known. So through Christ Jesus, there is an incredible grace and truth that is being revealed. So there's, to understand John, to understand truth in John's connection, to understand how the Holy Spirit works in the Gospel of John, it's so important to understand that when John speaks about truth, he understands truth sets free. He understands the reality that Christ came so that when we see there that there's no condemnation, we understand over there that in Christ is a truth that he wants to take us into to set us free. And that is why it's so important. So in John chapter 16 or John chapter 3, all this will come together from next week onwards. This is all just bits and pieces right now. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes. All of a sudden, we're starting to see the law came through Moses. That was an obedience to that law. No man could fulfill that obedience. We all fell short of that over there. Our conscience has convicted us, so we were very aware. Now, a righteousness of God is being made known through his son, Jesus. And this is by faith, as we've been looking at past few weeks. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Very, very interesting. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn. So there's, Christ came to reveal a truth, truth sets free. So in the reality of Christ, there is this incredible good news from God to mankind that will free us from the condemnation that comes from not fulfilling the law, the Ten Commandments, 100% from the day we are born till the day we die. Okay, so there's a truth that's being over there. But here, whoever believes, very, very important why faith is so important. God hasn't changed. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, for there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But whoever does not believe, this is not who does not obey, this is who does not believe in the name of God, one and only Son, already stands condemned. All of a sudden you see now in Christ there's a shift in the way God deals with mankind. Before it was total obedience to the requirements of the law, the nature of humanity, the requirements of the Ten Commandments, and also all the law that flows out of that there, and the social and then the ceremonial outflow of those Ten Commandments. Obedience, obedience, obedience. And all of a sudden we're seeing here this gift, this righteousness coming that is by faith. For those who believe do not stand condemned. Crucial, because the body of Christ in South Africa, they're just saying they still feel condemned. It's because there's not a revelation of receiving by faith, but they're still understanding. They have not yet understood what it is to die to the law. There may be an understanding of dying to sin a little bit, but dying to the law is not yet a revelation, and that needs to be grasped and to receive by God. Okay. Now the last scripture in John chapter 16, because we're looking at how God deals with humanity now through Jesus Christ, not through Moses, through Jesus Christ, how this good news is manifested through Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 16, verse 18. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove, or he will convict the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, why? Because people do not believe in me. It's not because they haven't obeyed. People do not believe in me. It's a total shift in God's dealing with mankind. People who do not believe in me. Okay, about righteousness. God has revealed a righteousness through his son in this gospel, and people do not believe in this righteousness. God is dealing with people that do not believe. For those who do not believe are already in the reality of condemnation, but those who believe, there's no condemnation. They've been set free from the requirement. They've been set free from the law, not only of sin, but the law of the law. Through the law, we have died to the law. Okay, we'll get there. Okay, now it carries on. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. Remember, everybody believed the righteous, Jesus was a blasphemer. Jesus, he was empowered by the devil. Jesus, or etc. And yet suddenly they understood only the righteous rise from the dead, and suddenly Jesus has risen from the dead. So he must have been righteous. Okay. And so there's a conviction of righteousness that is in the gospel. And God is dealing with mankind based on whether they believe in the resurrection or not, whether they believe in the death of Christ Jesus or not, whether they believe in his son. So that's the conviction of belief, unbelief that's taking place over there. And because of judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned, and we'll get to that when we get there, but I see time is gone. So guys, today, again, as I said, this is just putting in a lot of stuff over there, and now next week as we get to Romans 7, all that we've been sharing, you will see how it starts to come together. But now you've got a reference point, you've got something to, and I'm going to bring all this back all the time as we see the journey that Paul goes through in Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 is probably the most helpful chapter to help us understand, because many believers, as I said, are living in the reality of the Ten Commandments, but the social law, as Israel, they had their social law flowing out of the Ten Commandments, how they will behave with one another. Every church, every denomination has a social law on how you conduct yourself as a Baptist, how you conduct yourself as a Methodist, how you conduct yourself as a NGO or RGS, whatever the case may be. There's all these social laws on how you conduct your life. Okay. There's also in every different, there's a charismatic, there's a Pentecostal, there's a reform, there's the law from the Ten Commandments, there's on how you worship, how you pray, how you read the Bible, how you do this and all that there. So it's all these laws that are operating in this system of religion that is rooted and established on the Ten Commandments. And so the body of Christ lives in condemnation because the power of sin is still operating. They don't understand that yet. They don't understand the law of the spirit of life. They still only understand the law of the sin and death. And that, and so as we go through Romans 7, so much will be, and this is going to be such a big part of our message of reconciliation as we share the gospel, as we share the good news, as we help people coming out of condemnation, particularly on the deathbed. So many are so scared. So many believers are so scared because have I done enough? Is God going to accept me in that? Your whole Muslim faith is based on whether you've done enough to cross the border into the paradise, etc. It's a big part of humanity because it's in the nature of mankind, understanding that there's a righteous standard of God and are we living up to that or not. So guys, time is gone. So I'm going to just pray and have communion and, maybe they won't do the load shedding, but we will just have a time of communion. And then we will, if we're still on share, but Audrey's ballpark, so there's no load shedding there. Those who want to continue, please feel free to continue over there. So let's just listen to a song as we have communion. But first of all, Father, the body of Jesus, to know that we have died to the law through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've died to the power of that law. We've died to the requirements of that law. We've died to the consequences of breaking that law. And so, Lord Jesus, teach us what it means that you became a curse for us so that we can be free from the curse of the law. Oh, Lord, and I'm asking now, but by your spirit over the next few days, that you will work in us, that we will have a deep understanding, a greater revelation of your death, Lord Jesus, of the power of your body and the power of your blood. Understanding the power of your body and blood, understanding the consequences of your body and how it relates to us, not only dying to the power of sin, but also to the power of the law. And that freedom that comes. So I'm asking by your spirit to teach, to lead. But we want to thank you today as we partake, even without understanding today, but we partake, Jesus, that your word says that we've died to the law through thee, and we receive that today by faith. And we know that you'll give us understanding. We partake in the power of your blood because your word says to us that your blood has cleansed us from all sin. Your blood has cleansed our consciences so that no longer is there that guilt feeling that we've broken the law. But we're living in a new way, a new and living way, the way of life and of the spirit of life. And so we thank you for the power of your blood that is cleansing and dealing with that issues of guilt and go into our subconscious and deal with that, please. And we receive that today as we partake with your blood, Lord Jesus. So thank you for the moment of celebrating this communion with you, Lord Jesus. And we want to worship you and praise you together. Amen. Amen. Please feel free to just to have the communion as you